Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
We're less than 48 hours away from the NBA trade deadline. Not sure if the Wolves will make a move. I don't anticipate that they will, but there have been moves that have been made. And last night, the Wolves lost to the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento, no De'Aaron Fox, no problem. They still got DeMar DeRozan. Joining us now to talk a little NBA as we head towards that trade deadline, Sean Cunningham, sports reporter, KTXL, Fox 40 in Sacramento, joining us here courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Sean, how you been, my friend?
Henry, I've been well, man. I miss seeing your face at various stops throughout the country, especially Summer League, but thrilled to be with you this evening. And, it's going to be it's already been a heck of a 2025. I imagine these next coming days and hours are going to be even just as much of a real roller coaster ride for a lot of these NBA teams and fan bases as well.
I'm totally with you, man. I appreciate that, man, because I enjoy hanging out with you at NBA Summer League and various functions and stuff like that. Bottom line is, I'll be back this summer. I missed it, unfortunately, last year. I was a little bit under the weather leading up to Summer League, so I wasn't able to make the trip, but I will be back there. Literally was just in Vegas over the weekend for the big Morrell Benavidez fight. But let's talk some NBA trades, and let's start actually in Sacramento. You guys made a trade, or the Sacramento Kings made a trade. De'Aaron Fox is moved out of Sacramento. He was kind of the face of the franchise there, their best player, arguably. He goes to San Antonio, which actually was his preferred spot. In return, you guys, it was a three-team deal, Chicago, Sacramento, and San Antonio. You guys get Zach LaVine back in the deal. What was it about Sacramento's situation where De'Aaron Fox didn't want to remain and stay there and sign a long-term extension?
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit dependent upon who you ask. I think the story will change a little bit. I don't know if we'll ever know 100% truthfully just what transpired. But, Henry, if we rewind, this past summer in June, right before the draft, the Kings extended the coach, Mike Brown, who had been coach of the year just a couple years ago and 2 years ago when the team made the playoffs and snapped a 16-year streak of missing the playoffs. That's how long that postseason drought was. That's where we got to know what the Beam team was. Every time they win, you see that purple beam go right up in the air, and the Beam team kind of became this larger-than-life thing, and De'Aaron Fox was the face of that. And if I had told you even not only then, but even as soon as November, that, Henry, we'd be talking here in late January, early February, that not only would Mike Brown be fired, but Sacramento would have parted ways with De'Aaron Fox, I don't think you would have believed me. That's how crazy these things have happened. And, certainly Fox turned down the max extension that he was looking for. Part of that was just financial because it wasn't necessarily him not wanting to be here at the time. And certainly he made some comments talking about, part of the reason I'm doing this is I want to see that everything I've seen with Sacramento over the past 8 years that I've been here, I need to see that they're going to be committed to winning. And they brought in pieces like Domantas Sabonis, and they brought in pieces like DeMar DeRozan. But to that point, it also sets him up that if he had received an all NBA nod, that he would be able to secure a larger contract, a supermax for the type of player that he is. Now, I think as weeks and months of the early NBA season went by, that wasn't going to necessarily be in the cards. Kings got off to a disappointing start. And he made some comments on Draymond Green, doubling down on his podcast, doubling down on some of those concerns that he has about the future. Now, he stands to make more money than any other Kings player or any other with the Kings than any other team in the league, including now in San Antonio. But the likelihood is he will not get that all-NBA nod, and he's going to have significantly less. So I think he still had a desire to remain in Sacramento, but I think as Sacramento looked at that as an opportunity to possibly see what the market value was in that regard, you know, his people start looking around, and certainly if there was ever a team that if it couldn't work in Sacramento, then he looked at San Antonio, a place where his wife is from. They've got family there. They have a house there, and they have a hugely bright future under Victor Wembanyama. So if there was, he identified that very quickly as a place that could be the best for him going forward, and that's now where he is. They facilitated that trade, and I think the Kings felt like, you know, because of the start of the season, that it was just time. Once you kind of go down that road, it's easier to cut bait and to, you know, over the course of his 8 years, they've only made the playoffs one time. They didn't get out of the first round in that one series. And you're seeing one of the, you know, most brightest stars of the young NBA superstardom of a group, easily a top 20 player in this league, have to go elsewhere and go play with a generational talent in Victor Wembanyama. And Fox goes from being the face of the franchise to maybe the co-pilot.
The moment that the fight card was over at T-Mobile Arena this Saturday, I'm walking out of the building with my former colleague when I was in Kansas City, Carrington Harrison, who's a phenomenal host and extremely talented radio guy. And he said to me, "Have you seen the Luka news?" And I was like, "Luka, what? What happened?" And he showed me the tweet from Shams. And I'm, like the rest of the world, shocked at what took place. What was your take on that specific trade situation?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I fell in line with everyone else that didn't believe it necessarily when we saw it, that maybe Shams Charania had been hacked, and he had to come out, you know, very quickly and say that no, this is real. And once you saw it, I mean, it was incredible. And a lot of these moves, it's funny because, you know, Kings fans, I think, can relate to this in Sacramento, and I would imagine even up in Minnesota, is like, you, it's oftentimes those moves you don't hear about that are the ones that actually come to fruition, and oftentimes the ones that have the most chatter don't really happen. And this one just kind of caught everybody off guard. I mean, the NBA world was absolutely shocked. I mean, it wasn't just that it was a crazy, insane trade. It was one that is probably the most shocking in the NBA history, considering where Luka Doncic is in his, I mean, only being able to, you know, getting one first round pick. The Lakers obviously getting somebody sending Anthony Davis to Dallas, where it's just obviously an incredible talent, but certainly questions about his durability and his availability in terms because of all the injury history that he's had. It's hard to call it a fair trade, although I do think it benefits the Mavs in a crazy fun way, at least in the immediacy compared to what it does for the Lakers. But yeah, I was with everyone else, just absolutely shocked when it happened.
Yeah, it's just super interesting. But the thing that about this trade that just kind of bugs me a little bit, and I don't know why, but why are everybody acting like Anthony Davis is like a scrub now? Like,
right?
I mean, Anthony Davis is like one of the best two-way players on planet Earth. And it's not like he's not an NBA champion. It's not like the guy wasn't a one and done and won a title with Kentucky. Like, what's the deal? Like, I get it. Anthony Davis is often injured, and so that's not appealing. But I think that when I look at Luka, he stays out of shape, and he often is injured as well. So what do you make of Anthony Davis in this equation? Because I think that Anthony Davis is better than what they give him credit for.
Well, and to that point, you know, real quickly, I think Luka, I mean, you watch what he did last year. I mean, he limped from basically March all the way into the NBA Finals. So a guy who is obviously out of shape and still has these injury concerns himself, but was able to still backpack his team all the way to the finals, a team that wasn't nearly among the most talented teams in the league, and still make it as far as to the finals, and doing it not even at 25 years old. So just incredible durability, incredible, you know, availability for his team to be able to play in those situations, playing hurt and still being able to rise to the level of greatness. But obviously defense is just non-existent when it comes to Luka Doncic. And it's as a result of the things you mentioned, the conditioning that he has and that he doesn't have, I should say, and obviously playing hurt a lot of times. But when it comes to AD, I'm with you, man. When he's right, he's an absolute stud, one of the top 10 players in this league, an all NBA talent, and a two-way player. And it's interesting. Like, I see Nico Harrison's at least in the immediate future. And you see the pickup that they just did today to grab Caleb Martin, another 3-and-D that's absolutely fantastic, will fit in great for Dallas to go along with the already two centers like in Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford, and it allows Anthony Davis to slide into his true position, which is a power forward role. Yeah, man, and to pair him with Kyrie Irving, two guys that are absolutely in their peak prime condition, they're dangerous now, man. I love what they're doing, at least in the immediacy of it.
Yep.
But I can understand the future. I can understand how difficult that is to swallow for Mavs fans to sit there and say, Luka Doncic is no longer on your team, and this is a guy you would have been comfortable building around for the next 10, maybe even 15 years, should everything go right at 25 years old. It's a shocking trade. It's one that don't happen very often.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. We're talking to Sean Cunningham, sports reporter, KTXL Fox 40 in Sacramento here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. And I'm total agreement with you. Short term, Dallas is in a much better spot. They actually have some talent and can defend. L.A. can't guard anyone to save their life for the rest of the season. And they are actively trying to acquire a big as well. Let me get you your national perspective on this, because you're on the West Coast. And I'm not the only person that you know here in Minneapolis. You're good friends with Peter Newsom at Fox 9. What was your take, or what has been your take, with regards to Karl Anthony Towns getting shipped out of Minnesota, going to New York? I didn't like the move from the perspective of what we got. I'm not going to sit here and say that I shed any tears that Karl Anthony Towns was moved, but I just hated the package. I hated what we got from them. What was your thought?
Yeah, I can totally understand that. But, you know, as I had understand, and obviously knowing a lot of people within that organization, these aprons and salary cap, the way the new CBA works for the business side of basketball, you knew a move was absolutely coming. And when you look at the promising futures of not only Anthony Edwards, but Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels, I mean, an incredible group to build around. To me, Kat, as talented as he is, kind of felt like he was the odd man out. And you know, if you have to take a step back to make a step forward, it felt like the right move. It oddly the right time. I love the way it's worked out for the Knicks, for sure. But I do think for the long term, it was a tough decision because, you know how those aprons work. I mean, for every dollar you spend, it's almost tripled. And so to get underneath that with obviously the new ownership concerns that may or may not be coming into the Timberwolves' way, I could understand certainly why that move happened and why it ended up having to be Cat, but I can absolutely understand. I felt the same. It's kind of like with the De'Aaron Fox trade. I looked at it, scratched my head a little bit, and go, wow, that's really all that they got, thinking that you could possibly get more.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, I feel like, I don't know how Timberwolves fans feel, but I've loved Julius Randle and the physicality that he has.
I can't stand
you don't like him, yeah. From afar, I've always liked some of the things that he's blossomed into. I think he gets kind of an unfair rap at times, but certainly can't be your best player. But if you can surround him with shooting and he can maybe understand the type of player he should be rather than what he thinks he is, and maybe that takes coaching and some of the right messaging to kind of make some of that happen. I mean, certainly that guy is a talented, talented player who's won a championship. And I think, to be able to experience all levels of that, maybe he's stepping into the right peace of mind and where he's at. And I think, yeah, he's not as talented as Karl Anthony Towns, but with some of these other pieces, to be able to sign them to long futures is maybe just something that was necessary.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. If you'd like Julius Randle, I gladly trade you Julius Randle for DeMar DeRozan in a heartbeat. All right, final thing for you, and then we'll let you go. This is a non-NBA question. I'm going to ask it because somebody wants me to ask you this via the text line. Matt in Little Falls is wanting me to ask you, says, please ask him about the A's. I'm convinced they will not end up in Vegas. It will be Sacramento or San Jose. Do you have any thought on this?
Well, San Jose is interesting. It's currently a Giants market. I think that's what also has provided some of the you know, some of the shortcomings from the A's organization to be able to stay in the Bay Area. You know, look at nearby Fremont, they had explored. Unfortunately, these are markets that are Giants markets. I mean, Giants still have their Class A team over there, but from a market standpoint and the way the borders are drawn and all in the marketing aspects of Major League Baseball, considering the Bay Area, that's Giants real estate right there. So Major League Baseball would have to, and the Giants themselves would have to, you know, make concessions and make that market available to another Major League Baseball team should they move there. But yeah, I mean, they've got a pathway to Vegas on paper and in theory. And if John Fisher, their owner, who's been notoriously cheap, can build that ballpark and make that thing happen in Vegas, then yeah, they will be calling the 702 their home over the next for the foreseeable future after these next 3, maybe even 4 years here in Sacramento. But there's a, and I say that, but B capital B-U-T, that's a huge if, because there's not a lot of people that believe that funding will take place and that this ballpark will come to fruition in Las Vegas. So in the meantime, they had to find a place to play. The Oakland Coliseum was a non-starter. John Fisher was not alone in this. I mean, they had abandoned Oakland, that Coliseum, the dilapidated ballpark, and the city, which had just, you know, has no longer been up to Major League Baseball standards. It wasn't just baseball that left. You saw the Warriors go across the Bay. You saw the Raiders move to Las Vegas. You also see In-N-Out Burger leave Oakland. I mean, that's how dire this market has become for a lot of these companies. And even over by the airport, you're going to have a hotel. You know, airport hotels usually thrive, and that airport, super easy to get in and out of. You've got a major hotel that's going to be backing out. So these are a lot of things leaving Oakland. That city has some things to figure out. But in the meantime, let's just put it this way. There was no chance they were going to play this season in Oakland. And that means either looking at the likes of Sacramento, Salt Lake City, even Las Vegas and their AAA ballpark. They're going to be playing in a AAA ballpark in West Sacramento that houses the Giants AAA affiliate, and they're both going to share it in West Sacramento. It's a ballpark called Sutter Health Park. Now, if in the event they can't move to Vegas, Sacramento has a huge opportunity. I mean, it's basically theirs to lose if that happens. So you've got a hungry investor in Vivek Ranadive, who owns the Sacramento Kings. He's very good friends with John Fisher. He's ready to, you know, I think strike when the iron's hot, so to speak, yeah. And maybe even build a ballpark in Sacramento or even in the West Sacramento region should they become available. But these next few years are going to be very, very crazy. The Giants just had their fan fest. They traveled to several markets within the Bay Area. They went to Sacramento this past week. Logan Webb, their star pitcher, from the area, and you know, came in here. You had Giants fans all over the place, and we got a first chance to kind of get inside the ballpark and see what's being built, the new clubhouse and the outfield, seating and stuff that's going on around the stadium is right up against it. And oh, wouldn't you know it, after about a month of no rain here in the Sacramento area, we've got that atmospheric river that's all of a sudden a little over a week's worth of just torrential downpours. So interesting to see how that plays in effect with the upcoming season and some of the things that need to get done. But that's just a long-winded way of saying buckle up, because the path to Vegas is not necessarily paved in gold, and Sacramento has a huge, huge opportunity to possibly strike if and when the A's become available.
Hey, Sean, man, I appreciate the time as always, my friend, and I will see you this summer checking out some Cooper Flag.
Oh, I can't wait, man. Listen, can we just fast forward to it right now?
Cooper Flag, Ace Bailey, baby. We'll be there.
With bells on. Thank
right.
you, Henry.
All right, take care. That's Sean Cunningham, sports reporter, KTXL Fox 40 in Sacramento, joining us here on The Lake Show.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.